listening to Around Comics.
Welcome back to another episode of Around Comics, episode 365. I'm Brian Salazar. With me, as always, is Chris Niesman and Tom.
I am the Chris Niesman.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
The Chris Niesman.
The Winter Soldier and the Falcon.
Is it the or the? Is there a proper usage of either of those? Is it just sort of?
I would just say the. I'm a the person.
It's
only the if it's the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University. Brickishaw, Cabrickishaw.
one of the best sketches ever.
Absolutely.
Yes. We can just let's just do a Key and Peele podcast.
You know, I thought about the Key and Peele thing though, is if you look at it really. It's like they're pretty much making fun of black people the entire show.
Oh, there's a lot of stereotypes thrown around for a lot of different people on that show, but it's all brilliant. I mean, not all brilliant. That's a pretty boastful statement, but they had some of the most brilliant sketch comedy I had seen since like Mr. Show.
I still am disappointed that making those horror movies, because I really don't give a shit about those horror movies, and I want them to make more
Key and Peele.
More Key and Peele.
Yeah.
I mean, the horror movies are fine, but
he's good at them. That's the thing. He's a good. Yeah. My favorite Key and Peele is the one where one of them's playing country songs, and he's like, "That's racist." And they're obviously racist. He's like, no, we're just saying it was pretty
good. Yeah, they're just songs.
I think slap it ass.
I love the Black Republicans meeting. That was a very good one. And then there is the ultimate classic. The I said, bitch, hear me. You said what? You said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're now going to be on Around Key and Peele. That's we're changing the format of the show.
Yeah, comics. Yep,
format change. Tom versus
Key comics are boring. Yeah.
No,
comics are boring.
Some comics are boring, but I read a couple that weren't boring this week, and we are going to talk about comics. That's what people are here for, right?
Yes.
Which speaking of, I know that for Tom and I, it was a very, very tough week at work and a lot going on. So I only read a couple things. So this would be a great episode if anyone is watching or tuning in right now. This is a great ask a question show. So I encourage that.
Ask a question.
So
ask a question show. Here, well, we have Greg Porter is on. He said, "Yay, I'm on time. I just had coffee in my AC mug. You guys look great today."
Thank you, Greg. You're having coffee.
Where are you at, Greg? Because you're having. I would never drink coffee. It's very late here. Well, for an old man like me, it's late, and there's no way I'm drinking coffee at this time of night.
Is his avatar a hedgehog?
It looks like a hedgehog, yeah.
Yeah, it looks very hedgehoggy.
Cute little hedgehog.
Mm-hmm. But I did read a couple comics. I'll start off first of all, because this is kind of one that Sal has talked about numerous times. The trade finally came out, so I picked it up and read the first issue. And
I'm very interested in what you think about it.
One of the best cliffhanger moments in comics in a long time. That first, I'm just through the first, actually into the second issue. So I'll talk about the first issue and my thoughts there. One of the best cliffhanger twists at the last page of the first issue, where they reveal who the director is.
Yeah, you should say out loud what it is.
That would be really shitty, and I won't, because it's
no. I mean, page. What the comic is that you're talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it's the, I thought you wanted me to give up.
No,
spoil the cliffhanger.
People, you didn't actually say.
Oh, that's right. It is an audio podcast as well. It's the Department of Truth, Volume One, The End of the World, and it is. Go. Yeah, it's who is it written by? James Tynion.
Yeah,
And Martin Simmons on art, and the art's fantastic. Is he the guy that's doing they're killing the children book? Is that his?
Yeah, something is killing the children.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But
it's spooky in your house.
your lights went out. There's a ghost. It's we've been invaded by awesome. A lich fist. It's a lich fist.
It's this a lich fist. That is a lich fist shirt. You can get those at aroundcomics.com/shop if you're so inclined. The lovely lich fist shirt
check out from our DC D&D
group. And then
I think someone, he was looking for a lich, and someone said they could get him a lich fist. And I think I may have said that sounds like a really bad early 2000s metal band.
And I made it into an awesome 1970s and 80s punk band.
Misfits inspired punk band.
Absolutely.
And the shirt is awesome. I can't wait to wear it again on Thursday.
You're gonna wear it again on Thursday?
It's a little gross because I just got it in the mail yesterday and I haven't washed it yet.
So,
So whatever.
You know, I'm not personally making those, right? I don't know who touched that.
Yeah, it's been on a sweatshop in China. Absolutely.
No. I don't think that's true, actually. I know my other shirts are made in the USA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice shirt. It's very, very comfy.
Good.
But I will wash it before Thursday. So back to the Department of Truth. Setup is that there is a character named Cole Turner. He does work for a government agency, right? Prior to the setup is that.
Yes.
He's FBI. Is he FBI?
Yes, he's FBI. But it's like he's very bored with it. It's been so long since I read that first issue. Yeah. I can't remember. But
he's in the FBI. He ends up. Kind of falling into a conspiracy group and gets whisked away. There's so many cool things. I don't want to give away like major plot points, but yeah, it's definitely playing on the whole idea of conspiracy theories and secret organizations. What the really cool twist is that in the world that they exist in, if enough people believe a conspiracy or believe in something, it physically manifests. So if you get enough people to believe in Bigfoot and go out on a Bigfoot hunt, he is out there. You know, there's this really, really cool twist on. Oh, it's absolutely terrifying because I got conspiracy vaccine crap sent to me in a PM today, and it's like from a really close old friend of mine, and I'm just like, my God, this is where we are now. But yeah, it definitely looks at our current political landscape and culture.
Was it about tracking chips, or was it about rearranging your DNA?
It was. I will spoil this part. It was flat earthers.
Wow, how do you get around to the virus?
No. He's talking about the PM that you got, not the comic.
Oh,
yeah. Which one was it? I was gonna say, Jesus, how did someone get from the vaccine to flatter?
No, I was talking about the.
There's a way, Tom.
Yeah. The vaccines are not actually vaccines, and it's this guy, this Hotzi guy from Houston. He's a big Republican donor, and he
sounds legit.
It's really not. It's really not. So yeah, I'm not going to give that douchebag any airtime. The guy's a fucking lunatic. So anyway, yes, there is flat earthers in this, and they're at one point.
Isn't everybody a flat earther? You guys aren't flat earthers?
Jesus.
I'm just finding this out now. What the fuck?
I'm a hollow earther.
Oh, so you're
with Neil. The vaccine is from inside the earth.
That's insane. How could it be hollow? It's flat. They can't be hollow and flat. That's impossible.
Speaking of, if you have not seen the documentary Beyond the Curve, I think is the name of it. There's a couple flat earther documentaries, but I think this one is called Beyond the Curve. It's on either like Hulu or Netflix. It's great. It's really, really entertaining and frightening.
It just makes fun of flat earthers. Is that?
No, and that's what's really cool about it is that it allows them to make fun of themselves.
Well, all you have to do is
that was Errol Morris, who did Gates of Heaven and. The Thin Blue Line? He was a documentarian, and he said when he was making Gates of Heaven, his first documentary, the big thing that he learned is if you put someone in front of a camera within 5 minutes, if you just let them talk without interrupting them, they will tell you the craziest shit about their lives.
Hence this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Hence this podcast. Yeah. So anyway, all right. Department of the Truth. Very good. It's very good.
Yes. I read, I haven't finished it, the first volume yet, but I did read, I think I read the first four issues. Mm-hmm. I haven't, three or four. I don't remember. I really liked it. I thought it was a really unique take and just something way out there, way different. And
like if you like mind management, this is probably a good book.
Okay.
You probably enjoy it.
There you go. Yeah. There it is.
Oh, and, since it is an Image release, it's volume one of the in trade, so it's only $9.99. So you get the whole first arc for $10.
I'm waiting for the omnibus.
the absolute.
Yeah, the absolute. You guys
seen, so I've been doing future stacks for forever now, and I keep seeing, so I go through all the books that are coming out every week, and Marvel puts out like $40 omnibus that are like 400 pages of old comics. Are those, anybody know, are those black and white? They're like gigantic. There's like a Captain America one that came out this week, and it's like 600 pages, and it's like $40.
Really? So it's
I used to know all the formats, but I feel like the delineations between what an omnibus was versus
I don't know.
It all became very muddied. Yeah. Where suddenly it's like, wait, what is this?
Deluxe hardcover,
Yeah, it all became very.
Let's see.
You know what format I miss, Tom? Is even though I've got most of what I will ever read, but I love the essentials that were the black and white, just on the newsprint black and white reproductions. I thought they were great. And for a lot of the comics from that era, I actually prefer reading them in black and white. I found some old Jonah Hex comics in color, but I was reading Showcase? Is that what DC called them?
Those are DC ones.
Yeah, I was reading the black and white Showcase edition. I actually prefer the old Jonah Hex comics in black and white.
Yeah, without the bad print. Bad 70s quality.
Yeah, bad 70s coloring. And those stories, out of all those showcases, that was probably my favorite. Sorry, go ahead, Sal.
I guess it's just the giant hardcover editions, but there's some out there that are like super cheap when they come out. And I mean, this, the one I'm looking at right now is like the New Mutants Volume 1 hardcover omnibus. It's $76, but it's 1,200 pages.
What? What?
1,272 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
That's what it says on Amazon. 1,272 pages.
So this is the thickest one that I think that Marvel put out. It's the Amazing Spider-Man one, and it is...
It probably won't tell you how many pages.
It's right around 1,000.
Well, the New Mutants got a beat.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You got to get the most... God, jam as got, much in there.
I can't... Yeah, this is like 1,065 pages. If you add 200 pages to this, this thing is fucking unreadable. I'm glad I have it. It is fucking unreadable. You would, if I was in bed with this, it would crush my chest.
It's hard. It's hard to read.
You gotta be. You gotta lift weights to read these books, man. They got, you know. You gotta.
It weighs 12 pounds.
You're not taking that on like the train with you to read.
No.
You know, you can't. No.
It wouldn't fit in your carry-on bag.
I have a tip for people. So I recently bought these, the Umbrella Academy Library Editions, and they're exact same thing as the, there's a deluxe edition. And then there's a library edition, and the deluxe edition is actually smaller, but it comes with like extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way more expensive. It's almost like twice as expensive as the library edition, which is actually bigger.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's weird. So I ordered the library edition ones. If anybody's going to pick these up, I would definitely say pick up the library edition volumes of them. And they are absolutely gorgeous.
Is it all three volumes?
There are, all three are out. I only got the first two as I've been spreading out, buying them every couple of weeks.
I am struggling with the third volume of that series, and I loved the first two. The third volume is, for me, it's been a little difficult to get through.
Yeah. I would agree. I don't know that I've actually read it yet. I've tried to read it a couple of times, and I'm like, I have to be super focused in order to read this. Because it's not that it's, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to call it bad because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Gabriel and Gerard Way, I think, is a good writer and a really talented guy. And it's just, so it's like, well, I don't think it's bad. I just think it's dense or there's
something. When I'm trying to read it, it's usually at night getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't have the concentration level and maybe the intellect to keep up with this one.
What's going on in this?
I'm not a smart man. Greg Porter has another comment. He said, loving the future stacks and the Indigers, by the way, ready for some more Tom versus, but don't say that out loud. Oops, I already did. He doesn't need the pressure. It's just good to see you guys doing new stuff. Pace yourselves. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, I'm glad someone's enjoying the future stacks. You're the first person to say anything about them, so I'm glad you're enjoying them. Well, actually, Chris said he was enjoying them, but
yeah, I enjoy them.
A new Tom versus. I just haven't edited it yet.
Yeah. So we have forgotten that we have not let people know in this episode that all of this bonus content that we're talking about, Tom versus the Freedom Fighters and Sal's future stacks. I've got interviews coming up. I will get the Hillary Barta episode released this week. And then we do ACTV, which this past week we had a gap week between WandaVision and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So we talked about the first three episodes of Superman and Lois, which was a good conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I told you afterwards about the 17 minute mark. I'm like, I don't know if we have anything else to say about this show. And then we went for another 45 minutes.
It's magic, baby.
Yeah, it is. We just got in a groove. And all of that, of course, is available as a Patreon. And so if you go to patreon.com/aroundcomics, that's where you can help us out by financing the show. This thing ain't free to produce, and you can get a bunch of great extra content.
Absolutely. Patreon.com/aroundcomics
Do it.
It's like so I've been reading a book over the last few months that I've enjoyed and I haven't talked about yet. And it's, I think I mentioned it at one point, but I haven't gone in depth at all. But it's Taskmaster. It's a mini series from Marvel. I think 4 issues have come out. There's one more issue to come out. And then I think that's it. It's just a 5-issue mini series. It's written by Jed McKay with art by... What's his name? Alessandro Vitti. I will start off by saying if you're a Deadpool fan, you'll probably like this book. It's very much a Deadpool-ish feeling character, or at least characterization that they're doing with Taskmaster at this time. So basically the story is the Taskmaster, who, you know, is a mercenary, you know, murder for hire kind of guy. His special powers are that he can basically memorize anyone's physical movements. Kinesiology. I don't know how to say that word.
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Thank you. I'm an idiot, obviously. And so if he sees someone do something, he can basically replicate it forever. So if he sees like Iron Fist throw a kick, he can throw that same kick just as good as Iron Fist. And he's studied all the greatest fighters in the Marvel Universe. And so he technically is one of the greatest hand-to-hand combatants, if not the best hand-to-hand combatant in the Marvel Universe. But this story is about the fact that someone has killed Maria Hill. She's been murdered in her home and his shield was left there. So everyone thinks it's him. And why would they not think that? He's a, you know, murderer. That's what he does. But he didn't do it this time. He's actually not guilty of this, but far from innocent. It doesn't matter because the Black Widow is now on his tail and after him. And she's going to beat the shit out of him for what he did to, or didn't do to Maria Hill. His only hope is
Nick Fury.
Yeah, Nick Fury offers to help him out, but he kind of needs his help in order to do it. There's this something that Maria Hill has been working on, and he figures this is what she was killed for. But it's locked up in like these old hammer storage file system, and the only way to open it for some strange reason is to have the digital physical like imprint of 3 different people. Phil Coulson, who is the director of Squadron Supreme now. Amy Han, who is the director of this South Korean Tiger Division. And Okoye, who is the leader or the director of the Agents of Wakanda. You know, the top bodyguard or whatever of the Black Panther. So basically Taskmaster has to go and steal their, physical identities basically. So that he can
has to go steal their MacGuffins.
Exactly. but it's a perfect, setup for him. And he goes off to do that. And on the way he ends up fighting some pretty awesome characters. The first of which was Hyperion with the Squadron Supreme. And the really fun part, he's a little goofy. He's not so Deadpool-y. Like, he's not like way over the top idiotic Deadpool, just out of his mind. He's much more clever and ruthless. But there is a little bit of the, sort of like, I'm a little crazy and I do funny things just because, I can't. But there's a lot of clever fight scenes, and the way that he kind of gets out of some of these predicaments that he gets put in through this whole thing has been really kind of fun and clever to read, because one, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's not trying to save anyone. He can play dirty. He doesn't have to play by the rules. And he also has this very unique ability that he can replicate anyone's, physical movements. So it makes for an interesting, action comic book. But the one thing I also like about it is like, they don't ever let you forget that he is not a good person, and he's always sort of, even there's a part of him that may be psychotic actually, and he he flirts with that when he gets angry or when things happen throughout this book. Like, you see that coming out of him. You know, a lot of the book, he's sort of happy-go-lucky. He's cracking jokes. He's a wise, rogue-esh mm-hmm. kind of character and sort of going about, you know, kind of with a smile on his face and a knife in his hand. But there becomes these moments where it's like he has to stop himself from going overboard, and you find out he's a little more, you know, maybe crazy than mm-hmm. not even crazy, but just, you know, literally psychotic. Yeah. And which I guess would be crazy, but, so yeah, I don't know. I really had fun with it. I'm not familiar with Jed MacKay at all. I don't know what else he's written. But I really like the characterizations of all the characters in this book. I think they each have a unique, yeah, it's drawn very pretty, but it's written very well as well. Like very, very good characterizations. They all have unique personalities. Like even like Hyperion, who is, you know, is a Superman analog for the Marvel universe. He's kind of played like that a little bit, like Shazam a little bit. He's very stiff. He's very, you know, he's sort of like, you know, matter of fact, he's very confident in his abilities, almost overconfident in his abilities. You know, he's so powerful. And they show that, like, how extremely powerful he is and how he kind of takes it for granted. It's just like, okay, you can sit back down now. Don't bother getting up. This fight is over. You know, that's sort of like his attitude. You know, just every character that he runs into has a very, you know, like distinct personality, which I think is rare a lot of times in comic book writing. Like, you don't get, you know, very good distinct personalities in these books. You have the main character a lot of times, and then everybody else kind of sounds the same. They sort of have the same voice, and that's not the case in this. So I really like that about this book, that it was like, oh, each one of these characters sounds different. They all talk differently. They all have a distinct voice, which is pretty rare in a comic book, a Marvel comic book, I think. But yeah, so it's on issue 4. The 5th issue, I think, comes out next month, and then the trade will probably be quickly after that. So pretty cool book. I really like it.
Yeah. Taskmaster for me is one of those characters. I'm getting an echo. Are you guys hearing that?
I am not.
No. Okay. So anyway, Taskmaster as a character for me was one that always looked cooler than he was in the actual comics. It's, yeah, I remember those Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe, and, you know, Taskmaster was just a cool looking character.
It's a great costume.
It's great character design. But you're talking about characterization. I don't know. I mean, I started reading this series. I don't know Taskmaster as a character, like, you know, how he talks, or it's for a character that everybody freaking knows and has been in the MCU for what, 30 years now, something like that. Pretty blank slate to work with, as far as I know.
They've done a few of these now where, like, they're taking the bad guys and writing little miniseries. Juggernaut has one going on right now. And, you know, obviously, I think you've seen more and more of that in DC too. You know, obviously Harley Quinn, and now Joker has his own book, and you're getting Poison Ivy's becoming a character people are interested in. And
you go back to when they had the Mystique series. I love that. It was kind of a root for the bad guy kind of thing, even though
That's this. I mean, they set it up well, because it's like, well, he's innocent. He's a dirtbag, and, you know, he's a hired, you know, mercenary, but it's like, well, but he is innocent. So I want him to succeed at these silly tasks just because he's an innocent man, you know? And then,
that's why you love, you know, like Suicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly. You can always have a worse villain. Even villains can have, you know, worse villains. And that's a pretty popular kind of, I don't know if it's a genre in and of itself at this point. It's
sub-genre of comics is, you know, super villain comics, you know, root for the bad guy comics.
But yeah, it's like, it's like a step further than that even. Created by David Michelin and George Perez.
Oh, really?
George Perez created. the costume. So there you go. That's probably one of the reasons it's such a cool costume design.
Yeah. You've got Perez making it.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that have been in an Avengers run?
Avengers 196. June.
Oh, yeah. Because that's. Oh, no. 195. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's a perfect Avengers villain. I always think of him as a Captain America. A Captain America villain, and right. That's you know where I you know I think first saw the character. But yeah, that was the whole thing, is that he could be an archer as good as Hawkeye, and he had Captain America's you know brawling, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
hand to hand combat skills.
Right. He can. He is a master assassin and technician, skilled in hand to hand combat, expert swordsman, marksman, and archer. Voice mimicry, photographic reflexes. I always thought that was a neat photographic reflexes. Like that's a cool made up power. Like, it sounds like anybody could have.
What does that mean? It's like you can do the same motion in real life. You're like, it's a kick. Like who? You know? Like, yeah, you're kicking. Yeah, everyone knows how to kick. Yeah, but in comics, it's like he can kick. It's not just that Iron Fist kicks. It's like Iron Fist kicks in a special way.
Well, it's kung fu. I mean,
it's kung fu. It's true.
Special kung fu kicks.
In real life, if someone came up to you and was like, "Oh, I was watching you
kick.
I was watching you kick, and now I can by watching you, I can now kick exactly like you."
That's, you know, it's like going up to Aaron Rodgers. I saw you throw a football. Now I can do it
exactly as you. I have photographic reflexes.
Well, I will say there's definitely technique to certain, you know, to punching and kicking.
Yeah. It's just funny because it's it's also like Iron Fist also has got mystical powers. You know?
You can't replicate those. You know, it's just.
That's what I've always. It's like a very. It's great because it is very much like a 10-year-old boy power, you know, in a good way. It's like I can punch just like Captain America, and it's I mean, sure, I guess.
That's awesome.
yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, yeah. So it's always
in the book he whenever he uses something like that, he says where it's from. I saw Captain America do this, the Bat, the Leaper. I mean, like literally, that was a line, awesome. You know.
It's so like classic, not overthought comic book character, like power, where it's like, oh, that's cool. But then if you think about it too much, it's like, well, this seems strange. But it's like, don't think about it that much. Just don't think he knows how to fight like Captain America.
That's America. Has a very distinct way of punching and kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows how to do that. He watched it.
He is definitely an underused. I mean, I don't know if I'd say underused, but he's definitely, I think you could do more with him. And I mean, in this it was an interesting book because like they didn't they never made him look like a good guy at all. Like he was a piece of shit and proud of it. Like that was sort of the thing. Like he was just like, well, the one thing I loved that was I did like it. I laughed at it, but I was also like, oh, that's a Deadpool thing. Was like his ringtone was a Dolly Parton working 9 to 5, which was funny. It was just. Yeah, it was funny.
Very Deadpool.
Yeah. But he answers the phone and is like, bastard for hire, how can I help you? You know, so stuff like that where he doesn't take it seriously. He's a little kooky, but it wasn't over the top with that. And actually, I felt like after the first issue, that almost kind of went away and it wasn't so much, you know, so much that Deadpool feel to it. But nonetheless, if you like Deadpool, I think you'd probably like this book. Speaking of memories, though, photogenic reflexes. I was watching another podcast and they were talking to this kid who maybe you've seen it on SportsCenter or something, but he has like special handshakes for every one of his teammates on a college football team.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Complex and like. But they were talking to him and they're like, yeah, man, after that, when I didn't even know it was happening, I was being filmed. I was just going through the line. And he's like, it all happened because I went to college with a guy that I went to high school with. And back in high school, I always had my crew of guys, and like we would have a special handshakes. But each one, you know, there was three or four guys, we would each have a special handshake. Then I go to college with one of my guys that I grew up with, and we had this special secret handshake. Well, guys started seeing it, and they're like, hey, man, I want one, and I want – so, like, it got to be the whole team. And so he would just go through, after practice, the whole line, and every guy had a special handshake.
That's hilarious.
Amazing. Yeah, pretty amazing. But it gets better. One of his assistant coaches was filming him, and it ends up going on ESPN, and it blows up. And now he's like, now it's like every fraternity, the president of the school wanted one. Like, he's like, currently I have about 200 people that I share a special, unique handshake with. That, like, how do you,
the taskmaster?
How the fuck do you remember that? Like, he's the handshake king, man. He's the handshake master.
The taskmaster would watch him and remember all 200 individual handshakes.
I can
never know when that would come.
Like you.
I know what I got it.
I got it. So, yeah, maybe he's, you know, got some special skills there. It's not quite mercenary assassin, but better for the world.
But it could be.
Yeah.
But
it could be. Handshake someone to death.
Deadly handshake.
Not that we're saying that he's not an assassin for hire.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
We're not saying he is, but we're not saying he isn't.
Don't know.
Yeah. Plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm. I have one last one, unless Tom, if there's something that you wanted to bring up, but I know that you were.
I got nothing worthwhile.
All right.
Got nothing.
Busy. This one actually came out a couple weeks ago. Did you guys have a chance to read Nottingham?
No.
From
I did not.
Mad. I it's from saw. Mad Cave Comics, with the creative team of Hazen Volk, Romano and Gill. So it's David Hazen writing and Shane Connery Volk on art. It is, I liked it, first of all. It's a different take on Robin Hood and the Sheriff of Nottingham and that story. Just it's the story. It's just kind of told from a couple different perspectives. It's basically told from the perspective of the sheriff, which is
the blue collar, hardworking sheriff of Nottingham.
Just a simple civil servant.
Hey man, he's following orders. He's trying to keep order. There are bandits that are stealing from people, and they're more than that. There is also a serial killer on the loose, and
someone with arrows.
I will let you read it, but I don't want to give that much away. It's if you like the whole Robin Hood lore, it's worth reading. It's I like that part of it. I'm kind of a fool for the Robin Hood. The art in it is really interesting. It is pretty unique from anything I've seen in a while. It's great cartooning, but just the way that this guy draws faces it's almost like they're masks. It's hard to describe, but it's a very pretty book. It doesn't look like anything else that I've seen out there. It's good. I like it.
What do you think fans of Robin Hood, you know, if they had like a name, I'd say like nodding heads.
Nodding heads.
Trying to think of what would be a good, you know, the nodding head community loves a good Robin Hood comic. Mm-hmm. Your fellow nodding heads.
Yeah.
The hoodlums? I'm gonna look it up.
You wouldn't call the hoodlums, maybe?
Yeah.
No, they'd be the Sherwoods.
The Sherwoods.
Robin Hood, Nodding Heads. Let me look this up.
Fan fiction. You're talking about like hardcore fan fiction writing.
Yeah.
We got married in a Robin Hood themed wedding. Fans.
What do they call themselves? If you're like, you know, you the have your own the huge big the big the one who's waiting for the definitive Robin Hood.
Oh, that's Kevin Costner.
With, yeah, Prince of Thieves.
No way it's Errol Flynn. No. But yeah, it's, I mean, Robin Hood's one of those stories that everybody knows. I mean, it's a pretty simple story. So I think that's why it, you know, keeps being told in different formats. So yeah, I never tire of a good Robin Hood story.
Steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Poor.
Fuck with the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The serial killer.
With a serial killer.
Have you guys, read Once in Future, the Once in Future, I think it's just Once in Future.
I've not read that yet. Some of my list of things.
Yeah, I was. I wish I would have picked that as our book of the month, as opposed to
Space Circus.
Yes, Space Circus.
Hey, dude. Welcome to Purgatory. You just got work your way through that.
Muscle through it, Tom. You got to muscle through. Once in Future is a modern day story, but it involves the Excalibur and King Arthur and that whole mythos. And I've only read a couple of issues of it, but I really liked what I read of it so far because it was very different than I've always been a King Arthur fan. I mean, I think from like a kid, and then you know, there's been a couple of movies.
Trying to think of what a King Arthur fan, what the hardcore King Arthur fans would be called. Something like
Knights of the Round Table.
Round Table, like Roundies.
Roundies. Roundies. Yep.
Or
Arties. Oh, what was the owl? No, that was a different. That was a.
You're thinking you and Merlin. You were thinking of Clash of the Titans.
I was thinking of my friend. Because isn't its name Arthur? Or wait, what is who's got an owl named Arthur?
You're thinking of the Disney animated one.
It's the you're thinking of Owlman.
Owlman's ship is named Arthur, isn't it?
Yes,
I think
Archie. Yes.
Archie,
it's Archie.
But I think that's
what's that after?
Dr. Midnight has an owl
name Arthur. Too.
Something. Let me something see. God damn it! Now here we go. Fuck. All right, let's look this up. You keep talking. I don't find an answer.
Yeah, somebody has an owl named something with an A or something owl related. It is Archie, but what does it stand for? Archie.
Archibald.
I
can't remember.
I should really know this. I'm letting myself down. Oh man, shit.
It's called Archimedes or Archie for short.
Archimedes.
That's it's Night Owl in Watchmen. Yeah.
Okay. Archie.
Okay. So anyway, King Arthur fans they're called Merlinsiders.
Merlin Siders? Is that real?
No, I'm making that up. Okay.
That would be so awesome.
Merlin Siders. Merlin Siders, yeah.
It was so funny. Do you guys ever watch on the BBC, it's the talk show, the like late night talk show.
Grant with Graham Norton.
Yeah, Graham Norton. Great.
Graham Norton's great. Amazing. It's fantastic. Yeah,
he's great, and the guests are always hilarious. And there's just it's so much better than any late night TV in this country now. But
and it's very British.
It's very British. But very British. I didn't realize they had on. And I don't know when the episode. I catch YouTube clips, and it's like, oh, that's. I'd like to hear them talk about that. And it was Liam Neeson, and. What's the older woman who was a young, very young, sexy British actress and grew up and was still like really hot for an old lady?
Hot Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren, yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. I was like,
so wow. They're on the show together. Sorry.
That Tom came up with that.
Well, who else is it going to be? Come on.
Yeah, it's obviously Helen Mirren.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Dame Judi Dench.
No, I mean, she's still hot, but yeah, that's a whole different, you know. I mean, I'm into her for her acting ability. So they were both on that show, and at some point they mentioned that they were in Excalibur together, and I'm like,
oh, wow.
What? I was like, that's right. And I'm like, oh, my God, and I didn't even realize it. And then and they lived together. They like dated after that movie.
Oh, really?
And together. But yeah, I had no idea. Wow. And then I'm like looking back at that movie because I loved that movie when I was when it came out in like 1983 or whenever the hell that movie came out. And it's I still think it's one of the like better
Arthurian. Yeah.
It was weird and out there, but I think it was a awesome movie. But yeah, she's Morgan Le Fay. There goes Tom. And he is I don't think
she played Morgan Le Fay.
She played Morgan Le Fay, and I think he's Arthur.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom's back. We lost Tom. Tom's back.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, that was a long
story. He had to go register MerlinCiders.com.
Merlin Ciders. Merlin. Get your best.
Roboto someone six said the MCU sucks and it ruined both movies and comics. And inspired the New 52 and DC Rebirth and Doomsday Clock and three
Jokers. inside each of us is three Jokers.
Yes. We all have three Jokers. And
you don't have three Jokers.
Are these topics for well-worn ground?
That could be, yes.
I could talk about three Jokers every week.
That's a valuable book.
Why are there three Jokers?
You couldn't come up with three different ones. Two of them are kind of the same.
Let's see.
One's the comedian. The other one's the joker.
There's a criminal. What was it? The criminal?
The comedian? The
clown?
Oh, the clown.
The clown, yeah. Like two, three.
They're all clowns.
Was one of them a comedian? The other one was a clown. Is that what it was?
Three Jokers.
Why? Why three Jokers?
Are there three different Jokers? Yes, of course.
Of course, there's three different Jokers.
Of course, there's three different Jokers.
I still think that was a really pretty book.
It was pretty. Yeah. Pretty bad.
The clown, the comedian, and the criminal. Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't tease the clown and the comedian apart a little bit more?
Well, let's, you know, there's a big difference between a clown and a comedian. I mean, comedians would spit on clowns. what was that clown movie that...
Four Clowns from Outer Space?
No. Bobcat Goldthwait directly. Oh, yeah. Fucking mimes.
That was yeah.
Everyone should have to come up with their own three Jokers.
What was the name of that movie?
This is such old man.
Please, no one can remember
name of anything. I'm like looking everything. What was that?
This episode is we've forgotten everything.
Tom is our research department.
These are this is how all my conversations go now. Remember that? What was it?
That woman? The what?
Helen Mirren?
Can't remember the name of anything. Can't remember.
Well,
there's three of them, right? There's the comedian, the clown, the criminal.
Yeah,
you had me second guessing. I'm like, yeah, it was a clown, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was, maybe, no, it couldn't.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for not being able to remember which one's which.
The comedian, the clown, and the criminal—they all had to start with a C. Did you know? So it was the three C's.
C's. So
like clown. It was Joker squared.
Three C's. The three. The clown. The comedian. The chef. The curator.
The chef.
The chef joker. You get it? Yeah.
Shakes the clown.
The clown.
Shakes the clown was the name of the movie.
There you go.
All right.
What was the name?
Great movie.
What was the name of that movie?
So since this has turned into around Google, we should probably do our last plugs for the week. We have in 2 days, AC D&D.
Yes.
So you can
see do you want me to play Oh. Do you want me to play the intro or something?
Oh, you got to play the intro. It's brilliant.
Oh, crap. Where is it? All right, here we go. And
wow.
Unfortunately, that'll only be for the video people. There was really just music for the people listening at home.
I can tell you, if you're only listening to it, you're missing so much of the magic of people playing Dungeons. You captured the magic of it in the intro.
It does ask the question, why are they all elves? Because each one of us figured that no one else would pick an elf because it was so obvious. And so now we have five elves.
Well, four.
That's a lot.
Four and a half. Oh, that's right. You're a mudblood.
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm not. I have a drow.
Oh, Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Are you guys still doing accents? Have you maintained that?
Badly. It's worth tuning in for a good 2 or 3 minutes just to laugh at how horrible the accents are. Except for Tony. Tony's got the Russian accent down pretty good. I don't know if it's Russian or just.
I mean, accent is, I think I'm doing a fine job.
You are.
We're judging it.
You've been working on the my horrible fucking Scottish accent. How about that?
I enjoy it. I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's all part of the charm of our Dungeons and Dragons.
It's a hoot. We have a good time.
Ridiculous. Good time.
So yeah, that's not on Patreon. You can just tune in and watch that one.
If you could do a three mm-hmm. Jokers role playing game where you could be either a comedian. A clown
or a criminal. We still, Tom, I think we still want to get you in for 1 week as a 1 week standalone character.
As long as I die at the end.
We can make that happen.
Yeah. I better die.
Ford. I'll only do Star Wars again if you kill me off.
Kill me. People ask me about it. I'm just like, I don't give a. I don't. Was I a Force ghost? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
That's awesome. Yeah. AC D&D on Thursday. Then we have all of the Patreon exclusive stuff, which we'll be doing the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. After Hours on ACTV this week, so that's premiering, and then Tom's got Tom versus the Freedom Fighters. I've got the Hillary Barta interview, which, speaking of interviews, it won't be a straight up interview, but we are going to have a guest on the show next week. Yes. We're gonna make a little extra room for Derek Robertson, who's getting ready to have a written and drawn Batman the Dark Knight number one. The first time that he has written and drawn for DC, I believe. So
he's also probably one of the only Batman number ones. I'm kidding.
He's in some pretty exclusive company to have been a creator on a Batman number one.
I mean, people get a chance. Mm-hmm.
So Derek will be here next week, and yeah, that's all I got, man.
That'll be fun.
Yeah,
that will be fun. Greg Porter says the Joker would be a great trucker, Tom. Mm-hmm. Trucker,
the trucker,
the clown.
There's the trucker, the clown. And the criminal.
Comedian doesn't make the cut.
I ditched the comedian out of there. I put the trucker in.
And
there's one there's one version of the Joker that's definitely a trucker.
What would you say defines the difference between a joke, a comedian Joker, and a clown Joker? One like a microphone, or one has a big shoes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was never resolved.
Part of the issues with that
book. I kind of had trouble telling the difference between any of them.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, Crisis on Infinite Jokers. Someone needs to just do, for April Fool's, the DC should put out a four Jokers. There's a fourth one you didn't know about.
And he's killing all the other ones.
Other than just constantly killing all the other Jokers. Very meta.
God, I really hope Jeff Johns doesn't hear this podcast.
Oh, don't worry. Jeff Johns is fine.
I'm just wondering, like, does the comedian Joker, like, travel around to small Midwestern cities, play club dates, you know, bang waitresses, things
like that? The comedian Joker feels like they're saying his origin's comedian. But is the clown Joker's origin a clown?
He was a clown.
Right? Like the criminal, also kind of referenced to whatever. Who knows? Who cares?
Well, the clown, so the criminal would have been Joe Chill, right?
He was
a criminal before he became the Joker.
Did he? Wait. No, Joe Hill wasn't one of the Jokers. Because Joe Hill. Yeah.
Because they wanted to turn Joe Chill.
Why are we talking about the three Jokers?
Now, Joe Hill, the author, one of the Jokers?
He could be. He's in the scene. Because didn't Batman have to go and save Joe Chill from the Joker?
And
listen, man, it's infinite universes now. It doesn't Joe Chill could be the Joker.
There's a whole planet. There's a whole universe where everyone's a Joker.
Thomas Wayne. Thomas Wayne.
Joker. Everyone's a Joker.
Joker.
Everyone got Joker. Everyone got Joker.
I'm almost caught up with Pennyworth, by the way. Speaking of
the four Thomas episodes. Wayne.
Yeah, they only have like four episodes out. So I don't know how many they're going to do.
Back to the Joker. I have another question. Seriously. Like, so the comedian would have been the Alan Moore Joker.
Right? Yes.
Because that was the stand-up comedian. That was that. Mm-hmm. So the clown would have that just been the first Joker, like the Bill Finger Joker?
I think the criminal was the...
I thought the criminal was that one, and I thought the clown was like the silver... But no, more like the laughing fish Joker, like the bronze... I think we're perhaps exposing some of the problems with the book, like we did.
Criminal was the first one, and then the comedian is the Alan Moore one, and the clown is kind of a modern Joker.
Is that what we definitive Joker, like origin story? Because you had, you know, Alan Moore's.
Yeah.
That was a
different. No. Yeah.
Origin story. Was there another? That's what I was trying to think. Was there a third? You know, if you had the original Joker.
Yeah.
But there wasn't. What was that origin story of that Joker? You know, what are the sort of definitive origin stories of Joker? Other than the Alan Moore.
There's the Ace Chemical. Red. Fell in a vat of chemicals at the Ace Chemical Factory.
But did that happen in the comics or was that just in the movie?
I'm trying to remember what order it was in, because I can't remember if that was in the comics first or if that was in the movies first. And they added the thing about him being the Red Hood when he fell
the Red Hood, that goes back pretty far in the comics, right? I mean, that's like...
I don't think so.
1950s stuff, isn't it?
I don't think it is. No.
Maybe they just did a really good job of retrofitting that in.
Oh, well, you're right. I just looked it up.
Is it
1951? The Man Behind the Red Hood, Detective Comics number 168, penned by the character's co-creator Bill Finger, was the first to demystify the Joker's origins. According to Finger, the Joker was already committing crimes under a different alias, the Red Hood. When one night, as he was trying to rob a factory and evade Batman, he dove into a pool of chemical water. When he emerged, sporting the white skin, green hair, general Billie Eilish look that we have come to associate him with today.
That's unfair to Billie Eilish, I feel.
pale skin and green hair.
And then everything else is either TV. I mean, other than, let's see, hold on. So this is just a list of all of his origins.
So Bill Finger did it again, basically, right?
Yeah. Then the
Finger did it again.
The Killing Joke, 1988, obviously. So that would have been the comedian, but it was still the Red Hood. And then Tim Burton's Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, the animated series. He was a hitman for and chauffeur for Gotham City mob boss Salvatore Valesta. Lovers and Batman Confidential, Dark Knight, Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham Asylum 2009. It's a video game, so I don't Year Zero. Nothing in that. Yeah, so I don't know what the so the criminal would be the first one. The comedian, Alan Moore's, and then the what's the clown? Who the fuck is the clown? That's weird. God damn it, Johns.
All right, let's wrap this up, guys.
I was waiting for Sal to just get really frustrated trying to figure out.
it's too muddled. I mean, there's so many. It's
too much, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but it looked really pretty. So to hear just us trying to move
on from this shitty topic, and I refuse to let you.
So if you want to tune in next week as we Google more fascinating topics, you can do so every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Next week we have special guest Derek Robertson sitting in with us. So that would be a great one to put a question or two together and submit those to the show while we're talking with Derek. Would be cool. Thanks everyone for listening. Check out the Patreon page. That's all I got. You guys?
No, sir. I'm
all right. You're still reading about Joker origins. We'll be back next Tuesday. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and
around
comics.
Joker's infinite.
Joker's
infinite
after hours.
Comics.